Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring and that's my fine wife, Ben.
I'm here and ready to go. Fired up and ready to go.
With a great trip to Texas with the family.
With the family. Yeah, to be with the family.
I'm so glad you're back, baby.
Well, I'm glad to be back. And for all of you out there, this is our Do Not Fear, Hallelujah, Scripture of the Day.
Right.
Numbers 21:34. The Lord said to Moses, "Do not be afraid of him, for I have delivered him into your hands along with his whole army and his land. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon."
Wow.
All right.
Good stuff.
So, we're going to defeat the enemy today. Boom.
That's exactly right.
We're going to talk about...
Give him a black eye and a bloody nose.
That is it.
We're going to talk about answering the right question.
Okay.
Meets every need.
Mm.
Answering the right question meets every need.
Hallelujah
is right, baby. It really is. You know, one of my favorite teachings that I've ever done is entitled, "Don't Be Hypnotized by the Appearance of Lack."
I remember when the Lord spoke that to you.
I know. It was
so
such
good.
A blessing. It was. Hallelujah.
So, you know, reading in Matthew 14:15, New Living Translation, this is what it says. "That evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place and is already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves.'"
The disciples wrote a negative report.
Mm.
Now, get a picture of this. Those closest to Jesus, those who'd seen him heal blinded eyes, restore lame limbs, and work mighty miracles, those closest to him were hypnotized by the appearance of lack. The message was clear. The disciples were saying, "This is a desert place," meaning there's nothing here. No Chick-fil-A, no Subway, no Chinese buffet. "We better send the people home because there's nothing here for them to eat." Those closest to Jesus were still surveying the situation with their natural eyes. They were bound by their circumstances. Sometimes in life, we get so blinded by our situation that we can't focus on what possibilities are in front of us.
Think about that.
In our own lives, all too often, those closest to us are the ones who bring the negative report because they're hypnotized by the appearance of lack.
That's right.
Now, I always get fired up about this, teacher.
I love it, too.
However, this morning, the Lord led me to read this account in the Gospel of John. So let's look at John 6:5-13. John 6:5-13, New International Version.
That's right. "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?'" You know, he, hallelujah, asked this only to test him. Now, this is what the scripture is telling us. Listen to this. He asked it. Asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do.
Amen.
"Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite.' Another of disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, 'Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will that they go among so many?' Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them." Talking about women and children, remember. "Says Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, 'Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted.' So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the barley loaf left over by those who had eaten." So now let's look at John 6:5. John 6:5, this in the New International Version again. It says, "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?'" The scripture says that Jesus was testing Philip, as we just mentioned. In John 6:6, he says he has asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Without question, Philip missed it. How? Jesus asked Philip where they could buy bread to eat, and Philip responded by totally ignoring the question that Jesus had asked him. Jesus wanted to know where, and Philip was trying to still figure out how. John 6:7, New International Version says, Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. According to the King James Version of the Bible, Philip said they only had 200 denarii, which, according to the Amplified, was about 40 bucks. Regardless of the amount, Philip was ignoring the question Jesus posed, where they should buy the bread. Philip was responding to what he perceived to be a financial question when, in fact, it was a question of faith.
Lest we, too, quickly condemn Philip, we need to ask ourselves, how many times have we allowed fear and worry to grip our financial situations instead of claiming and confessing the precious promises of God? Andrew was more helpful than Philip, although it seems he still didn't see the complete potential for miracle manifestation. John 6:8, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Philip had asked how. Now Andrew is asking what. Once again, the wrong question is being answered. But at least Andrew brought the little boy with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fishes. In heaven, one of the people I want to talk to is that little boy with the loaves and fishes. To Andrew, what the little boy had in his hand wasn't enough. But to the boy, it was everything he had, and he was willing to share. And we're going to say this again, because we really want you to get it deep down inside of you. Andrew, who did a good thing, thought that what was in the boy's hand was not enough to be multiplied to meet a need. Yet to the boy, what he was willing to offer was everything he had. And it was more than enough to meet everybody's need with plenty left over.
He got a good harvest.
Amen. Some of you on the call this morning, or whenever you listen to this, may feel that what's in your hand at the moment is not enough to meet your need. But when you release it into God's hands, it becomes more than enough to meet your needs with plenty left over to share with others.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 9:7-8. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8 says, you must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. You will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others.
Wow.
Here's a truth that every believer needs to grasp.
Yes. What you have in your hand right now, are you listening to me? What you have in your hand right now is enough to meet every need you have when you give it over to Jesus.
Yes.
In our hands, it might not be enough, but in God's hands, it's more than enough.
Yes.
When you hold on too tightly to what you have, you're operating in limitation. But when you release it, God then begins to increase it. Let me say that again. When you release it, then God begins to increase it.
That's good.
Mm. Jesus started with what he had. He offered it to God with a simple faith, expecting the increase. He didn't allow the limited resources given by this little lad, to stop him from taking action. He acted in faith on what was available to him at the moment. Too many times we've heard Christians complaining about they just don't have enough. But instead of praising God for what they do have, as we examine our current financial situation, regardless of how much we have or how much debt we have or what kind of a balance or a lack thereof in anything that we're doing, whether it be our job or our investment portfolio, it's important that we look and answer the right question. We don't need to be concerned about how God is going to deliver us from our current situation. That's his problem. Our question is, where does God want us to sow?
That's it.
The problem with the lack of food in John chapter 6 was solved not by complaining or questioning, but by giving. The little boy gave all that he had to work, you know, to the work of the ministry, and all the people were fed. Not only that, but there were 12 baskets full remaining. The little boy who gave all that he had was able to return home with increase and a powerful testimony about how Jesus had used by what he had in his hand to bless many others. Can you imagine what it was like coming home with 12 baskets? He goes, Mom says, I thought I sent you out with one. Where'd you get 12? When we read the Word of God, we need to focus on what the book is saying, not in light of our circumstances, but in faith in the Word of God and His ability to multiply what we have to meet every one of our needs. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right.
You know, God is good.
We want to encourage you to watch what's going to be a TV miniseries called The Chosen. We're now on our fourth viewing of that.
Yes, and it's going through the first three. But each of the, you can buy the DVDs. I think the first one has two DVDs in it. Second one has two DVDs. Third one has three DVDs. Yes. It's just amazing.
And there's a lot in there, obviously, about this teaching.
Yes.
And it'll bless you so much.
Just miraculous. Yeah.
Huge.
It is huge.
And it'll bless you, no doubt about it. So you can actually go to YouTube. You can go to PureFlix.
You can actually go to their website and download. You know, they allow you to watch it for free.
Yeah. So, and of course, you can get the DVDs.
The Chosen.
So, The Chosen.
Amen. It's very good.
Yeah.
But needless to say, you know, you are not the only one who says, well, you know, it looks at stuff in lack. But the point of it is you can change that and change your entire, you know, destiny.
That's exactly
by believing
right.
What God said in His
and that
Word.
He's capable of taking what you got.
That's right.
And multiplying it.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah. He's done that for us many times.
Yeah, may we all live in that faith all the time.
Amen.
The enemy will work on you, but kick him to the curb. Kick him to the curb.
Well, hallelujah.
Right. Yes.
If you're blessed by the teaching and the ministry, go to haroldherring.com. Click the button that says sow a seed. And just sow whatever God tells you to do.
That's it.
We love you. We appreciate you. And I'm so glad you're back.
And I'm so glad to be here. Love all of y'all.
We do. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. Bye-bye.